thank you all for coming here tonight. But a special thanks to those who, over the past years and months and weeks, who have been prayerfully supporting and encouraging and loving and pointing me and my family towards Christ, preparing to go out to North Africa to serve. And I just really do thank you for that encouragement. It's been a real blessing to see other people's desire and burden, to see unreached people groups around the world reached for Christ. And that really does thrill me. And it's great to be part of a church that's looking to that. So before we read from our passage tonight in Hebrews 13, let me just open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here together, brothers and sisters in Christ, on the verge of a new year. Lord, we just thank you that we can meet here in this freedom and come under the sound of your word. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for how precious it is to us, Lord, for the truth that it contains and how it points us to Christ. Lord, we pray for any tonight who cannot be with us. Lord, we pray for those who are sick, those who are ill, or for whatever reasons can't be with us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them, that you'd draw near to them by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who, Lord, maybe at the start of the year they would have been here, or in years gone past they would have been here, but Lord, today they're not because their love for you has grown cold. Father, we pray that even this night, Lord God, as they look back over the past 12 months, Lord, that they would, that you would draw them back to yourself, that Lord, this time next year, that they would be with us, worshipping and praising you. And Lord, we pray for any in here tonight, Lord, who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray that you would speak to them by your Spirit. Lord, that you would draw them to Christ. And Lord, we pray for those around us, Lord, around us in Newtown and Wales, the UK, and indeed, Lord, to the end of the earth. Lord, we pray for those who are without Christ. Father, we pray that you would equip us and send us out, Lord God, to tell them the best news that there has ever been. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you'd like to turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. If you've got a church Bible, it can be found on page 1212. It's also on the screen there. So Hebrews 13, reading from verse 1 down to verse 16. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison, as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate, to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Amen. So, I realized this morning as Tim was preaching that some of it's going to overlap, as often happens, it's God's providence, but I hope it won't overlap too much. But as was mentioned this morning, around this time of year, if you go on the internet, you read through your newspapers, blogs or whatever, you often see that there'll be articles on highlights over the past year, the good, the bad, the ugly, celebrities who have died and who have made successes. You have a few that will maybe try and guess what the next 12 months will hold, or try and predict what happened with North Korea, with Russia, with the Brexit and all that kind of stuff. And then some will obviously just concentrate on the here and now. But here on the verge of a new year, we're going to be spending some time looking at this passage, firstly looking back to the past, then we're going to be looking forward to the future, the promises that we see here. And then we're hopefully going to be looking at how these things should affect us now, how we're to live our lives out today and in 2018. So I realize it's not the normal way of looking at a passage, but I thought being New Year that it'd be helpful to do this. But my hope is that tonight it will be simple and practical and not end up being like some episode of Doctor Who or something jumping through time and space. So firstly, the past. And remembering that as we're looking, we want to be practical in how it applies to us today. So for each of you, I'm not sure what the past year has had in store, what the past 12 months have looked like. For some of you, imagine 2017 as being a pretty good year. Maybe work's going well, your family's doing good, your house is looking nice and tidy, or not. But for some of you, the past 12 months, looking back, maybe it's very, very difficult. Maybe there's been heartache, loss of loved ones, trouble within your family, trouble at work, maybe financial situations. And it's been really, really tough, even just to get to this point now. I'm sure that each of us can see ways that our lives have changed as individuals, for the better, for the worst. We may have seen an increased love for the Lord over the past year, an increased love for the lost and a desire to share the gospel with them. Or maybe looking back, actually that's decreased in your life, that your love is not what it was a year ago. Well, for all those different changing situations, let's firstly notice in this passage the author points us to the steadfastness of Christ. So look there again at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm sure you've heard this verse quoted many times before, but why is it so important? Well, if you read the verses surrounding it, the verse actually at first might seem a bit out of place, but the context here is key, as always. The verse before encourages us to remember our faithful leaders. I take this to mean both those from the past, those who have gone before us, who have died, and those today who are faithfully serving the Lord in the present context. But then straight after this verse 8, we read in verse 9 of a warning against false teachers, those who deny or twist the truth of God's word. So on one side, we have encouragement towards faithful teachers. On the other side, a warning against false teachers. And then sandwiched in the middle is the truth that Jesus is unchanging. So as we look back to those who have gone before us, who faithfully served the Lord, we're to be reminded that Christ, who led them then, is still the same Christ today. When we look back at times and places where our brothers and sisters in Christ have gone through severe persecution, like we've heard of during the time of the Reformation, or even more recently, when we get the updates from Bob and Liz. We're to remember that Christ who led them then is still the same Christ who is leading his church today through persecution. And when we look back and see times and places where the church has grown in great numbers during times of revival, like here in Wales, with many people being saved, we're to remember that the Christ who led them then is the same Christ today. But thinking of verse 9, we're also to remember that even if times when false teaching abounded in the past, and when those who called themselves the church seemed so corrupted, like we heard of as the church was before the time of the Reformation, that the Christ who led the few faithful then, the few who remained faithful to his word, that he is still the same Christ today. And if you're trusting in Christ tonight, no matter what may have happened in the past 12 months, good or bad or confusing or whatever, Christ was the same during those months as he's always been. And we're going to see in a bit how we continue to be in the future. But now that we've spent some time looking at one part of the nature of Christ, let's look before we move on to the future to look at one event that this passage points us to from the past. So we'll be looking briefly at the steadfastness of Christ, and we're going to be looking at some of the assurances that we have for those of us who are in Christ for the future. And we're going to then be looking at some of the ways that we should be living for him now. But for some of you today, the assurances of the future and the ways that we should be living for him today won't apply. Because as of yet, you don't actually know Christ. And you aren't relying on him alone for salvation. Then can I plead with you tonight, before you start walking through 2018, to look back to what we've been pointed at here in verse 12. I'm just going to just read it out again, verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. So there we see the author pointing his readers towards Christ's sacrificial death on the cross to take away our sins, so that he took the punishment instead of us. And so for some of you tonight, it could be that you need to start at that point, that you need to stop relying in your works, your good works, your chapel going, your church attendance. Or maybe for the first time, you need to see that actually he died on that cross for you. And you need to see that before you can have the assurance of any of these promises that we're going to look at now, and before you can start to live for him today. So let's now move on to look at some of the things about the future that this passage points us to. So firstly, let's look at the promise here that was first made to Joshua back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, but now applies to us, to those of us who are in Christ today. We read it in verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. As we mentioned before, not only can people not even know exactly how things are going to pan out in the next 12 months, but even within the next few weeks or days, there can be so many uncertainties. But come what may, in the following months and years, as a church and as individuals, we can be certain that through God's promises that we will not be left alone, even at times that we feel that we're completely alone. John Newton wrote a hymn many years ago. I'm not going to quote the hymn exactly, but he basically explains in the hymn how he desired to have a closer walk with the Lord, but yet for a time, it felt as if the Lord had completely distanced himself from him. It felt like he was alone. But at the end of that time, he doesn't say how long that went on for, but after the end of that time of being distant from the Lord, He testifies how then he saw that actually the Lord was through him that whole time, and he used that time to bring him closer to the Lord. He hadn't left him at all. But at the time, it did feel like it. So we can be assured in the future, even if it feels like it, for those who are in Christ, we will not be alone. But the second thing in the future the author here reminds us is in verse 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. So what's the city it's talking about? Well, it's heaven. It's the new Jerusalem that is to come, where we'll see Christ face to face. If you talk to people, from the elderly, maybe down at Plasgrad Crun, or even I'm sure amongst young children, if you were to ask them about, are you going to go to heaven? You'll often hear a reply, I hope I will. I hope I will get to heaven. Well, if we were in Christ, we could be certain of heaven, because we know the city will come. Not through arrogance or self-pride, but because the promises of God and the truth of his word. But let's now move on to the present. How we should now act in response to the truths that we've been pointed to in looking back. So how Jesus is the same as he was then. How he's been with us through the past and how he'll guide us today. But then look into the future as well. How he'll continue to be with us. How we will not be forsaken. And how we have this assurance of heaven. We're going to look at how that should affect our lives today. And some of the other practical implications that the author tells his readers. So a lot of them we're just going to quickly scan over before slowing down to look at our main theme this evening. So verse 1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. I'm sure you've heard it before that we as a church often have a reputation as a loving church, as a caring church. I've been the recipient of that for many, many years. I'm sure many of you have. But over the next year and however long, let's continue to aim to increase in love. Let's not be satisfied with as we are now. Let's increase and increase in that love. Verse 2, hospitality. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Although some of us may have a special gift in hospitality and have better means to be hospitable, it's still something that most of us can be involved with in some degree or another. Taking opportunities to invite others round to your house, even those you don't know well, to encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But it can also be a great means of outreach, inviting non-Christian neighbors and work colleagues to invite them, to get to know them, and to be able to share your faith with them in your own home. Evangelism doesn't have to take place within these four walls. It can take place within your four walls, as well as hundreds of other places. Let's be involved in going out and inviting people in to our own homes as a means of evangelism. Verse 3, love and concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted, but a love which leads to action and prayer. So it's been great over the past few months to have regular updates from Bob and Liz at different meetings about the persecuted church. And I know a lot of you receive regular updates from organizations such as Open Door. But let's make the most of these opportunities, the times that we have set aside to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we can seek other opportunities to support them wherever they may be around the world. Verse 4, let's make our aim to treasure and protect marriage. It'll be no newsflash that marriage is under continued attack in the UK. It's easier divorce, the government trying to redefine marriage, although marriage is, in a sense, cannot be redefined. But here we're shown in this verse that we are to actively go out of our way to protect marriage as it should be between one man and one woman for life. And even if we're not married, each of us can play a part in that and honouring those who are married, not trying to get in between a husband and wife. But as well as honouring those who are married, let us also remember to honour those who are single and to help them in that, help them to serve the Lord in their singleness. Verse 5, be content. As Christians, we should be known as people who are content, who are not constantly grabbing after more and more possessions or nicer houses or whatever it may be. Let us see that, let people know that we are content because we have Christ. Verse 6, do not be afraid. We, as a church and as individuals, let us pray for boldness that we may go out and spread the gospel to those around us. Verse 9, be on your guard against false teaching. Although we are very blessed to have God's word faithfully proclaimed to us week by week, we still have a responsibility to be on guard against false teaching. It is so much easier these days just to turn on the TV or the internet and hear preaching from all sorts. But let us be careful to guard against and be aware when we hear false teaching, to highlight it and to guard others from it. And if we know of people that have adopted false teaching, let us be quick to lovingly point that out to them. But now, after quickly going through those points, we're just going to slow down a bit and look at verses 12 to 16. So I'll read them again. So verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking to the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. So here we're told in these few verses to go outside the camp, to go outside our comfort zone, to take risk for the sake of the gospel. It says there to bear the disgrace that Christ bore. John Piper sums up these verses as this, that we should be moving towards need, not comfort. I'll say that again, that we should be moving towards need, not comfort. We need to realize that this kind of thinking of going outside and bearing disgrace for the cause of Christ is totally against the world's way of thinking. The world says, build up your fences, as it were. Protect your own. Believe what you want to believe, but keep it to yourself. Let others believe what they want to believe. Don't disturb them. Don't rock the boat. Don't cause trouble. But it seems that the original readers of the book of Hebrews here had accepted Christ, but they were still trying to stay within their old ways of maybe of Judaism, possibly because they knew that to do otherwise would be to stick out like a sore thumb and to be persecuted, to be disgraced. But the author reminds them that Jesus didn't die outside Jerusalem so that they could stay the same. Look again at verse 12. He died so that they might be holy, set aside from the rest of the world, saved from death and brought into God's light. We then, also as individuals and as a church, are to follow Christ outside of the camp, outside our comfort zone, which is risky and costly. We're told that throughout Scripture. But just remember that it is so, so worth it. Because there we see it's outside the camp where Christ suffered. And it's often there that we can have a closer walk with Christ. Because here we have no lasting city, but we can be sure of the city that is to come. That God's perfect city where we'll see Christ face to face. That no matter what happens here, that we have that assurance of that future. Since before any of us here were born, as far as I'm aware, we've had great freedom in this country to proclaim the gospel, opening our church doors to invite others in to hear the good news, which has been great. It's been used mightily, I'm sure, over many years to proclaim the gospel. But I believe that maybe one of the downsides is that often when we think of evangelism, the first thing we think of is events, which in and of themselves are great. It's great to be able to run events. But I don't think we see that in the New Testament. We don't see a come and see. We see a go and tell. We say go out and tell the nations, but also to our neighbours, those around us, in places even close by and far afield that don't have a Christian witness. We are to go out, not to be solely concentrated on come and see. One implication of that is next year, as has been mentioned before, we have an important decision to make as a church, whether or not to join the FIEC. However the vote goes, whether we decide to join or not, it does not change the fact that we should be playing our part in reaching those around us with the gospel. Joining the FIC is an option. I wasn't told to say this, by the way. I believe it's a wise option. But it is an option. And a matter of wisdom. Going out of our camp and sharing the gospel and church planting, however that looks, is not a matter of wisdom, but a matter of obedience. And it will be costly. It'll be costly for us as individuals. It'll be costly for us as a church. I mean, some of us filling up other gaps, and it could cost financial cost to it. But however that looks, we can trust in these promises that we have looked at, that we will not be alone in doing that. But then if we look further on to verses 13 and 16, we see that this life outside the camp is not to be a misery, although it may well be tough. But in fact, it is one filled with praise. Notice that it says there, the fruit of lips, not a work of lips. That when we're living this life following Christ outside the camp, that a fruit of that, of praising and proclaiming Christ, will show in the fruit of our lips of praising him. You see there in 15 and 16, a joyful life in knowing Christ, even if we are disgraced. So just in conclusion, let's look back at the end of this year and see God's faithfulness and love to us as individuals and as a church. Let's look back and see Christ's death outside the camp for you and for me, that we would be set apart and made holy. Then let's look forward into 2018 and further on with the assurance that come what may, that Christ will continue to be the same. That those of us who are in Christ can have complete assurance of this new city, heaven, that we will be with Christ. and that come what may, that we will not be left alone or forsaken. Then for the present, we can go outside the camp, like soldiers leaving an army barracks, that we can be disgraced like Christ was disgraced for us, because he will lead us, and we will be loved, even in the face of opposition. Christ will be with us. I'd just like to quote now a couple of verses from a hymn before closing in prayer. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, for I am with you. O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand.